I'm Helen Tucker. Welcome to Your Career and You, the podcast. My mission statement is learning to believe in yourself gives inner strength to achieve the impossible. Your journey is all about learning to believe in you, becoming the top consultant and CEO of your own business, and taking control of your own career. Your journey starts now. Hi, Atiya. How are you? Welcome to Women Talk Podcast. It's so good to have you on the show so you can share your experiences and skills with our ladies. So just to kick off, can you share something about yourself and what you do?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. So who am I? So my name's Atiya Chowdhury-Green. I am owner of Super Smart Stories. And I suppose I should start with why did I choose that title for my website? And I chose it because I'm passionate about supporting children to be uniquely themselves. And what happens is when you get to the age of seven upwards, children start being programmed by good experience and not so good experiences, and that limits them when they're adults. So my thing about Super Smart Stories is how can we educate parents and teachers about how to support children to reframe and to get over some of those negative stories so it doesn't limit them when they get to adulthood. And so schools and education is designed to support children to be smart. You know, they teach English, maths and science, all those sorts of things. And the super smart for me is about, hey, as adults, we learn all this stuff. We read books and the latest leadership thing and the latest emotional thing, you know, emotional resilience and all that kind of thing. And we learn all this stuff for us as human beings, as adults. And wouldn't it be great if we could translate some of those messages and learnings to support our children as they grow up? So that's where the super smart bit of my sort of website comes in. So essentially, I support parents and teachers to really connect with children using some deep connection strategies that relate to what I learned as part of the neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, master's practitioner. I'm a trainer and a coach in that field. But I really started off as a nurse in 1984, had a 37-year history in healthcare, moved up the ranks. And, you know, through my 37-year NHS history, National Health Service here in the UK, I always sort of learned and applied. So I've got this buzz of continuous learning, which is great. And I retired from the healthcare job, and I wanted, from doing the NLP course that I did, I recognized that I was programmed myself as a child, and there's something that happened to me, and I recognized the fact that I wasn't being myself as an adult because I was programmed. So it just got me more passionate about how do we use creativity, how do we use our imaginations, how do we support children as they grow up to be more uniquely themselves. And in the process, when I'm doing my one-on-one coaching and programs with parents and teachers, they learn about themselves because they need to learn about their programming to unleash some of their, you know, the stuff that they don't want to be, you know, when they learn that they're programmed and some of that behavior or some of those things that they do is not them, they get the aha moment and then they're able to make a choice of being different. I hope that makes sense.
Yes.
Latterly, you know, when I said about the learning, you know, I like to learn and apply. Although I did lots of leadership and management training, healthcare, quality improvement and all that kind of stuff, the NLP was about self-awareness, learning about myself. And then later on, I got more into creativity and trained in visual strategy and visual thinking, because the brain learns faster in pictures. So I was, you know, unleash my creative side, because I always was the type, you know, when you go on holiday, you take a novel and you read a book, you know, or, you know, a novel about, you know, and a romantic one or an adventure. I was always the one that took stuff related to learning around, you know, how could I learn the next leadership thing or whatever, that kind of thing. So my creative side was never cultured, if you like. It was in the work sense, but not necessarily from visuals. And as you can see, I do lose lots of colours and I use pictures and stuff like that. So it ignited that. And so I blend the creativity and visual thinking with the coaching and my program to support people to learn faster as well. So, yeah.
Wow. And just listening to you, you've got an armory of skills and talents and, you know, having over 37 years working within the nursing profession, all of that now is pulled into these unique programs, which is amazing. And making that impact, especially with parents, as you've mentioned, ensuring that they do have that good connection with their children. I think it's vital. So having gone through all of this, what challenges have you experienced and what are some of the strengths that you've pulled on in terms of yourself and how you've got through them?
The first challenge I experienced was way back when I was when I qualified as a nurse. And, you know, had this programming, if you like, positive programming through the training of nursing of learn and apply, learn and apply. But when I qualified, I worked on a 34-bedded medical ward with 8 cardiac beds, and I wanted to specialise in cardiac nursing. So what happened was, after about 6 months into the job, I asked my senior manager, could I go to Leicester, which was half an hour away, for 6 months to do this specialist course, and I'd come back and apply the skills in my work context in Burton-on-Trent, was where I lived and trained. Anyway, and just to give you a bit of background, was I was a traditional Asian girl, Pakistani girl that lived at home with mum and dad. We didn't go on holidays. My parents weren't that strict, but I didn't, you know, we didn't go to like parties or stuff like that, you know, English or multicultural parties. And if you remember that sort of the 1970s, you know, growing up as a child then, and not many Asian people in Burton-on-Trent either. And so there's a lack of confidence in me wanting to go to university, even though I went to visit, but I didn't do that. I stayed safe and went into nursing because my older sister went into nursing. So when I trained and qualified and I wanted to do this specialist course, the nurse manager said, oh, Atiyah, you need to train, you need to get this teaching qualification to teach student nurses. And I thought, fair do. So anyway, so I started doing this thing. And then the next minute, a few weeks later, the nurse who was English and white that was in the ward upstairs, and I was on the male ward, she was in the female ward, and she'd got female cardiac patients. She was offered, the next minute, she's going off to do the course. And I was like, oh my God, I was the first one to ask, blah, blah, blah. And I had all this thing in my head that they were being racist, you know, but I never said anything to them like that. I just said, or in my head, I created this thing about, you know, I asked first and I didn't get to do it. And what it really did, that challenge, what it did was it made me get a job in Leicester, because the other way of doing the course was being an internal candidate, and they were looking for staff nurses at the time. So what it did was it gave me the confidence to, one, apply for the job. And then at the interview, I said, I'm not coming unless you put me on the next course, which is in October. So it gave me that real right. I'm going to ask for what I want. So yeah. Whilst it was a negative experience and challenge, I'm grateful that it happened because it helped me to become more independent. I moved away from home. You know, I was able to work in a different environment, in a different town that I'd never been to before and all that kind of thing. And so, yeah, so I'm grateful for that challenge and what happened. And so when you talk about the strength then, through that challenge, it gave me the strength to be independent, and it gave me the strength to, what I noticed was, if somebody triggers me emotionally, my emotional state gets to such a state that it makes me move and take the next action that leads to success. So the learning for me around that is actually, you know, they talk about actually, you know, you've got to feel it. You've got to feel, you know, it's no good just saying, I want to do this and then leaving it. You've got to take actions, but you've got to really, really feel what you really, really want.
Yeah.
And so in my history of being in my career and even in management careers, somebody's told me I can't do anything, and that led to the next promotion, and it, because it heightened the feeling of negativity but led to a positive result. So yeah,
Oh, wow. And it's so true, because sometimes some of us, we just maybe need a push or need a challenge to actually, for us to come out of our comfort zone, to realize actually there's something else out there for me. And it could be a negative experience that turns into a positive, which happened in your case, which is, for you, has been fortunate, because then it opened so many doors after that as well.
Yeah.
So would you say this is one of your proudest moments in life?
So my proudest, apart from training as a nurse, and then one of my proudest moments was when I did qualify from Leicester and I learned these cardiac techniques. Is one experience was when an elderly patient heart rate was low, and she had to have something called a pacing wire fitted. Anyway, so she had this pacing wire fitted. The wire delivers electrical shocks that allows the heart to beat, and you set it, this box, on so many beats per minute. Anyway, so she came back to the ward after having this temporary wire, as we called it, fitted. And as we were moving her onto the bed, all of a sudden the heart rate went really, really fast. The actual electrical thing had moved, and she started to like stop breathing and all that kind of thing, and her heart rate went really down. And whilst everybody was trying to get the machinery and all the drugs and whatever, all I did was do a pre-cord, which was what we did in those days. You don't do it now. Precordial thump, and all of a sudden she came back to life. So one of my proudest moments is the fact that in the nursing, having the honour to support people to get well, and then that experience of, you know, when that happened, bringing somebody back to life. And then the other element is, because I didn't go to university later on in life, I did my MBA, Master of Business Administration. So that was a proud moment for me as well. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple of things. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's just really awesome, the things that you do and you have done, from bringing somebody back to life to make an impact in young people's lives as well, and parents. So what do you like about yourself?
What I like about myself is the fact that I'm happy in my own authenticity now, and that I wear clothes that don't match sometimes, and the patterns don't match. So I've got like a brown top here, and I've got a cream silky thing, but I've got a green dress underneath it, but then I've got this scarf lot with multiple colors. Now some of it matches and some of it doesn't, so I've got different patterns and different things, and I'm quite comfortable with that. My husband says I'm a sort of an eccentric dresser, but in a good way, not too Vivian Westwoody or whatever. I think what was your question? What am I proud of, or what do I like about myself? What I like about myself is that I'll wear what I want, and if people don't like it, that's fine. But I feel happy in that, and I love colours, and I love the visual side of things and stuff like that. So that's one of the things I like about myself. That one comes to light.
It is all about self-love, and that's what a lot of women in our group may be lacking as well. It's just being comfortable in your own skin, and once you are comfortable, you know, you can actually achieve most things. And the way you dress, the way you come across, is part and parcel of you having that strong identity, which is fantastic. So if you had a choice in terms of what you would like in life, money was no issue, what would be your ideal dream scenario?
So my ideal dream scenario is to continue to travel to different cultural places and live in there for a few months or 6 months or whatever, to really expose myself to new environments and culture, but also setting up a charitable organization, being a philanthropist in one way, and learning from the philanthropist already out there. It's not just about giving money, it's about how do you do it responsibly, that is sustainable, and sustainable in terms of empowering people that don't have the funds or are disadvantaged. In that context, what I want to do is have retreats where I bring families, you know, parents that I've worked with who are, you know, well off, if you like, who then sponsor other families that are disadvantaged, lived in, you know, whether it's the third world countries or whether it's in a disadvantaged area in, you know, a affluent area. You always have areas where, you know, you've got people that don't have as much. And bringing mixtures of families together and doing retreats that support each other, support cultural diversity, to support, you know, the stuff that I teach, visual thinking, creativity, and doing lots of fun stuff related to that. And sponsoring them going on my programs and stuff like that. So yeah.
Oh wow. And just, it's because you're all about connection and developing, which goes a long way in terms of the next generation and the next generation. And actually, you're a type of person that reminds me of your living your legacy in terms of making that impact and being a catalyst for change, which is amazing. So what would someone in your situation do if a person who inspired you and they were wanting to do something like you, what would you advise them?
What would I advise somebody else I inspire them? The key message for me is about how you can be uniquely yourself and how do you live into your own authenticity. And one of the big books that I'm reading, well, I read it last year, that I'm reading at the moment and I'm doing visual summaries, is something called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, who used to be a professor at Stanford University. And he talks about, you know, when we're successful, we tend to self-sabotage. And so we get to, and so how do we transcend? How do we take the big leap, as he called it? How do we transcend the upper limit that comes up in our life? One of the things to inspire people is about, you know, failure, what that means to them, and being comfortable with that, because actually we don't improve in a straight line. We improve by going up and down, up and down, up and down. But the thing is that we need to understand what that upper limit is within us and how does that play out. And it's interesting, the symptoms of the upper limit that play out are things like blaming or criticizing people. We worry, you know, things like, you know, when we don't tell the truth for some reason, we become sick. You know, when you get a promotion and then you're due to start your new job or whatever it is, and sometimes people get sick, it's because they're approaching their upper limit and the body is reacting. And so there's something about how you're comfortable about managing that upper limit and recognizing it's just a symptom, and actually your illness will just go away, you know, if you recognize that that's the symptom of what it's causing. So inspiring others, what I'd say is the bit about the continuous learning. The more you can live into your authentic self and doing what comes easily to you, because one of the things I recognize is the things that we're good at, we don't recognize, you know, what comes easy to us. It's just like, oh, that's just easy. But to somebody else, it's like, wow, she can do that sort of thing. So there's something about, if I was going to inspire somebody, I would ask them to go and talk to a load of people to ask them what do they think they're good at, to get that awareness and do more of that, because that's their authentic self and that's their unique skill.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Good, thank you. And my final question is, what does taking control of your career and your life mean to you?
What does it mean to me? Control and... what it means to me is I set the direction of where I'm heading. And so I've always been a person, childhood programming, which was negative but positive. My mum couldn't cope as a mum who came from Africa, you know, when she married my dad and then came to this country and then didn't speak English and all the rest of it. She used to have quite a lot of emotional breakdowns. And I used to, my older sister would put her arm around and go, there, mom, and support her. And she was like 2 years older, maybe about 8, and I would be about 6, 7. And I would go upstairs thinking, I've not done anything to set my mum off. How I was programmed from that experience is what I did was I dumbed my feelings down. So I put a protective barrier because I didn't want to show weakness, or not weakness, I didn't want to show the emotional side of me. And so as a child, I blocked that out. Over the years, how I took control is about recognizing that happened so that I could feel the feels to process things. But that experience taught me that also that, you know, you don't know what could happen in life. Make sure you support yourself. Make sure you're able to, you know, financially support yourself. Don't rely on a man, even if you're married. You know, you don't know what could happen. And life happens, you know, people die and all sorts of things, you know, within your life. So you've got to have ways of managing that within yourself. And so for me, taking control is about making sure that I'm self-sufficient, making sure that I don't overspend, making sure I've got a safety net of funds, and also making a list of being really, really clear about my values. So what are my values, and making sure that I live into that, and anything that goes against my values, I, you know, need to recognize it and not do it, you know, not follow other people or not follow your friends. So one of the things I don't do is I don't need a big circle of girlfriends and things like that. Whereas my older sister, who was bullied as a child, didn't have lots of girlfriends. Not that I had lots of girlfriends when I was younger, but it didn't really matter to me, but it really matters to her. So again, it comes back to recognize, you know, the control bit comes back to recognizing what are your value systems and how do you live into that, and where are you not living your values, and making sure that you don't, you know, do things that you're not, that isn't you. So yeah, managing that kind of thing. I was looking for my visual because I did a thing about my core values this year visually. And wrote, actually, I did a reel on Instagram about it. Sow the seed. But yeah, those are the sort of things I would think about for control for me and how I lead my life, is making sure I'm self-sufficient and making sure that I live my values and don't do things that don't serve me. And, you know, get rid of negative people in your life. You don't want negative, or people that drain your energy as well. You know, people who drain your energy are people that can take the life out of you and can cause you to become ill, if you like. My values of authenticity, creativity, diversity, oneness, and then simplicity. And then right in the middle, I don't know if you can see in the middle, I put the word, oh, it goes there, philanthropy goes all the way around. So one of my things for this year is about being philanthropic. And that's not just about finances. It's about how do you offer your time to support, you know, the greater good or the people. So one of the things actually I'm doing as part of my thing that I do with parents is to understand themselves better, is one of the things I've developed is a quick quiz. So how to help them better understand themselves in terms of what kind of language pattern they use. And in order to do that, when they do that, they one of the investigations for them to do is find out what their kids use, their language pattern, their preference point. And so there's a quick quiz that I've done, and what I've done at the moment is I've done a reel about it a couple of days ago on Instagram, and I've said anybody that downloads the quiz and does the quiz, I'm giving £1 for each completion to you know, the Syrian and Turkey earthquake appeal, up to value of £250 that I'm planning to donate to that charity. Well, I will donate it even if I don't reach the 250, but so anybody who completes that, then they'll be supporting that charity too, to support the survivors.
That's fantastic, because I know you posted that link in the Women Talk community group, which is brilliant. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to do that as well.
Atiya, you've been a wealth of experience and skills that you've shared. And I just imagine that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, your life and what you've done and the impact you've made. And I've tried to capture it in, you know, the 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so. But it's been amazing because there's so much that you've done and you're still doing, and even on a personal level, as we were discussing earlier, you're traveling the world as well, which is fantastic. You know, it's really good because that's still part of the learning journey for ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you. And I just want to honor anybody It's not so, so when I talk about myself, you know, it's that thing, isn't it? When you talk about yourself and people are giving you all this positive, I receive it. Thank you very much, Helen. And on top of that is I want to honour every woman who has gone through their own journey and have their own unique ability and style of whatever they are doing, even if it's in the same things that other people, if you know, two women's group are doing things about hormones or whatever it is, they'll be doing it differently based on their experience. And actually, we're going to support people who resonate with us and some people that don't resonate. And I feel comfortable about that sort of thing. Yeah, but yeah. I do want to honour, you know, the fact that each of us have gone through our own journeys and actually we're all unique in what we can offer the world.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And mm-hmm. I totally agree. The different platforms that we have access to and how you share your story, and it will resonate with even if it's just that one person, and it makes that person just think and take that tiny step to make towards making change. There's a start. Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for sharing and just being an inspiration and a motivation to women and to men as well, because I know some of the women will make that change, but also has an impact on their partners and their family. So it was a ripple effect.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Helen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Your Career and You, the podcast. The career and business tips shared by our guest was certainly inspirational, informative, and insightful. For more tips on how you can take control of your career and business, subscribe to our next series of Your Career and You, the podcast. You can also visit our website for more information. So subscribe and take control of your career and you.